on and on and on. Good evening, everybody. It is Thursday, February the 1st, year of our Lord, 2024. It's the Fakeologist Show. And that Lord's Prayer means that someone around here is praying, and it better be you. Another goofy opening set of words. Yeah, I just riff. I just practice playing a talk show host slash disc jockey. And you guys keep me conditioned and able to do it thanks to your generous donations. I would never try and make a living off any of you guys to do a show on truth. But I do have expenses, and I do appreciate you guys chipping in at fakeologist.com/donate. I'm hearing so many podcasts these days begging for money. I really don't like to mention it on my own podcast because it really annoys me. But luckily, I don't rely on the money, and I just use it to cover the FakoTube expense, which is a big one. And that's why hopefully Mr. Daniel, our FakoTube creator, will watch the stream tonight, because if we're going to pay for something, it better work. And I have been getting many complaints about the buffering, which just indicates that it's just not able to keep up with, for whatever reason. So we'll be working on that tonight, so please forgive me if I go technical on you. But if you're not on FakoTube, then you can also come to YouTube, Twitter, DLive, Odyssey. And I heard Twitch is back again. I might put Twitch back because it is a free addition. I don't know if anyone uses Twitch other than gamers. Anyway, it's Thursday, and that's Frank the Salt Guy. Frank is a regular fakeologist. His email is frank@fakeologist.com, and we passed over him for a couple weeks in a row because we were doing our German experience, my continuing exploration of Canada's first and only known nationalist. And that's been very interesting and educational for me. I'm not giving up on that, but it looks like my main wave of interest has been passed, but I'm still going through hundreds of Zundel videos looking for interesting nuggets, the least of which is his Holocaust exploration, because that is actually the dullest part of it all, because I know a lot of people think it's very important, but really it's what it's covering up, which I think is more important. Anyway, Frank, how you been? It's been a few weeks. I heard you increased your family size.
Yes, I'm the grandfather of two now.
Well, I'm very grateful just on the world's behalf, because apparently the Western population, native-born population, is in free fall. Not the least of which is because of COVID.
I'm very grateful. Yeah, it's wonderful.
You're bucking the trend. You're trying single family like to counter this very, very drafty downdraft going the wrong way for humanity.
Well, it's interesting that when I often remind my children that when they were teenagers, I would always threaten to put pinpricks in their condoms, I think. So they always knew I wanted children.
Okay, very good. That's very good.
But of course, they had moved out of home by then, so I couldn't make sure I couldn't get anywhere near their condom supply.
Right.
So I've got a presentation today, Tim.
Thank you, Frank.
Before I go ahead with it, I listened to Calcified Lies a few hours ago, and Calcified Lies, who reminds me very much of Marcus Allen.
It's not him, though. His name is Steve, and did I interview him?
I'm not sure, but he. I mean, the giveaway is that Steve does talk about the Heavenly Father, the Creator of all things, and I don't think that's Marcus's stick at all.
No, and we're talking about Marcus Allen, EscapeTheNewNormal.com, TruthIn7Minutes.com. He's a past truther that was fairly inspirational in our early talk show lives, whether for better or for worse.
Well, Calcified Lies' latest talk reminded me that, you know, we all think we're trying to do good, but, you know, I can only pray that I do no harm to anyone with these things that I think I know about. But it was a good reminder. So,
well, Calcified Lies is a YouTuber. He says that the fakeologist is controlled opposition. And we don't mind being pointed out. We're not controlled opposition. I don't, not intentionally anyway. We're not trying to control anything. But I will put a link to that on the show notes.
Yeah, I thought his latest video was excellent.
He's a very smart. He's a very smart guy. I stopped listening to him in the last year, just because I find his material dry, and there's other more interesting things. But that's taking nothing away from the man. He's very intelligent, if not disillusioned.
And now that I've invoked the spirit of Marcus Allen, I think we should say enough of the fluff. Let's get to the stuff.
Oh, that was always a good line. I know he stole it. He stole it from somebody else.
Oh, did he?
Oh, of course. Most good stuff is stolen. But we're going to talk about our old favorite chestnut, and that is excess mortality. And
well, I'm not going to talk about excess mortality at all. This is a review of the Australian mortality statistics since the year 2000, effectively.
Okay.
And the sources that I've used are the Australian Bureau of Statistics and the Victorian Government Registered Deaths, a site called it'll come to me. It'll be apparent when I use it. I think they're called the Statistica and one other site. So they're all, you know, very reputable sites. And I thought it would be interesting to review these statistics.
Who is Statistica?
What is it?
Who is it? What is it?
It is a, I'm just going to have a look, see if I can find there.
And I do believe that Denis Rancourt from Montreal, Quebec, I think he reviews Statistica as well. And I do
trust Statista, it's called.
Statista, okay.
Yeah, and I've found some of them are a bit... some of the statistics are not quite okay.
Okay.
But, you know, in the main, it's okay. I'm really, where I'm using it, it's not, it doesn't need to be absolutely spot on.
Okay.
So, yeah, let's return to the stuff.
And Danny Rancourt is on Steve Kirsch's show tonight. And I do support Steve Kirsch, even though he has some shillery in his background, because I think he's doing good work. Am I right or wrong? I do not know, but I'm just, for full disclosure, letting people know.
I end up with the similar results to Denny Rancourt anyway. So a reminder, you know, again, invoking Dave J, these are statistics. It's a review of statistics. I make no claims about their validity, other than the ones we've already made, that I think the registered deaths are accurate because they represent the SETI KV Trust numbers that's created when each person comes into the world, each living man or woman comes into the world.
Sorry, what is that trust name again?
SETI KV.
Such a hard thing to remember how to spell. Say.
It's CSTUIQUEVIE. But okay. Pronounce SETI KV.
So we think that's a very important act.
Yeah.
Of 16.
I think it is, yeah.
And why do we think that?
Because a person, a corporation is created that mimics, because the assumption is that we are spirits housed in a living body.
Okay.
And that the world of corporation is a corpse, and there has to be you know, a representation of you in that world of the dead, because the living cannot speak to the dead. And what that SETI KV Trust did was, in 1666, assume everybody was lost at sea, and unless they disputed.
And what does that mean? What does that mean financially?
Well, it means that there is a way of engaging. If the living man accepts the role of the corpse, and they can be bound up in a
in the laws of the sea.
In the laws of the sea, yeah.
That's so interesting. It's so obscure, but it's probably the correct model.
And again, it's a model. I don't make any claims of having full knowledge of it, but I think these are my views.
Okay, let's go with your
presentation. So the model that I'm going to put forward to you is, you know, for your consideration, is that there is no signal in the Australian mortality statistics of any pandemic starting in 2020.
Specifically 3/11/2020.
Specifically 3/11/2020, yes.
Okay.
I'd say that there is evidence that hospital closures reduced mortality, the iatrogenic effect.
Right, and that is death by doctor. So because doctors were not performing their doctoring duties, fewer people died.
I think there is evidence of false attribution of mortality.
Okay.
And there is compelling evidence that jabbing increased mortality rates, and that there is compelling evidence that there is a step change increase in the Australian rate of mortality, and that has taken place irreversibly.
In other words, we're not going back.
We're not going back. So that last one has the shakiest data. So I'll move on. So these are, this quote here comes from the 2022 ABS mortality report, all cause deaths. And the claim is that it's the highest mortality rate since 2015. Now I am going to essentially throw a spanner in the work and say that in fact it's one of the highest mortalities of all time for Australia, and I'll go through that. This quote comes from directly from their document. Increased mortality during the third year of the COVID-19 pandemic. There are 190,939 deaths registered in 2022, with Australia's pattern of mortality differing to that during the first 2 years of the pandemic. The number of deaths increased by almost 20,000 deaths from 2021, and the all-cause mortality rate was the highest recorded since 2015. Increased deaths. Now, I'm going to draw your attention to the all-cause mortality rate, because there are two ways of measuring the mortality rate. One is the actual, and one is this adjusted rate, this what they call the standardized rate of death.
Does that take in the baby boomer?
All that stuff is what okay. They say. So
that's
we'll talk about that.
Rate, yeah.
Increases in deaths are recorded in all jurisdictions. Deaths due to COVID-19 were a significant contributor to the increase, causing just under 10,000 deaths, and mentioned as a contributing factor and a further 2,782 death certificates. I'll have to get the numerologists onto that number and find out what that is. The Omicron variant was the dominant strain during 2022, with multiple waves across the year associated with the variant.
By the way, is this slide an official government document, or this is from statistics?
That quote that I've just given you is from the official document, the 2022 report.
And I'll provide a link to it.
I beg your pardon?
From what website?
It's from the Australian Bureau of Statistics.
Oh, it's from them. Okay. That's not Statista.
No.
Okay. I had to hide the chat and the show tile so we could see the screen, everybody.
Yeah.
So it'll be back eventually.
The same report goes on to say that there was a change in the leading causes of death. There was a change in the top five leading causes of death in 2022, with COVID-19 becoming the third leading cause of death. Ischemic heart diseases remained in the leading cause, followed by dementia, Alzheimer's disease, with cerebrovascular diseases and lung cancer rounding out the top five. Chronic lower respiratory diseases became the sixth ranked cause in 2022. Notably, this is the first time since 2006 that there has been a change in the top five leading causes. In 2006, dementia, including Alzheimer's disease, entered the top five, overtaking bowel cancer. This is the first time in over 50 years that an infectious disease has been in the top five leading cause of death in Australia. In 1968 and 1970, influenza and pneumonia was the fifth leading cause of death. The rate of death from COVID-19 has increased from 23.7 deaths per 100,000 since 2021 and 24.5 since 2020. In these years, it was the 33rd and 38th leading cause of death. Now, I draw your attention to that last sentence. In 2020, COVID was the 38th leading cause of death. Can I ask anybody to explain to me how being the 38th could be leading?
Right. Well, I guess everything is leading and there's nothing trailing. The opposite of leading is trailing. Yeah.
The 38th.
Frank, you know, that's like
talk about,
saying,
talk about let's give someone a, what do you call it? It's like getting a participation prize, isn't
that's
it?
That's like me telling you you're my 10th favorite person.
Exactly. Well, it's better than the 38th anyway.
Which is not true. You're above 10, I think.
In fact, 2020 is the healthiest year on record as measured by the standardized death rate per 100,000 in Australia. This top line is what's happened to standardized death rate mortality for men. The bottom line is for women. As you can see, there's a considerable difference between the mortality rates of men and women in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And the
men are busy. Men are busy being eaten by sharks.
Is the combined. Now, what you can see is that the standardized death rate fell in 2020 to 488 per 100,000. Now, Sweden, for example, has 1,000 people die per 100,000 each year.
That's because there's no sun.
So it's, you know, and they are considered to be a long-lived people.
Right. But Australia is even better.
Let's have a look at this, what happened in Victoria. So I've got the other... So this source is from the Victorian government, the registered deaths. Now, this graph is what I've done is I've taken monthly figures and then added the 12 months worth of figures. And as each month passes by, I drop off the previous month. So, for example, can you see my mouse on the screen there, Tim?
Just wiggle it a bit more.
Can that be seen?
No, oh, it's a very small mouse. I think sometimes if you press the plus key or something, sometimes it shows it up, but maybe not. Or if you press the control key, it puts a circle around it. Press the control key.
Okay.
And it draws a circle around the mouse.
No. Anyway, can you see there's a hand? Anyway, what
I can see the hand. By the way, you made this graph?
Yeah.
Okay, because the previous slides were from the government site.
Correct.
So this is your graph because there are no government graphs like this. So you've had
there are. Now this is done on Excel.
So you had to do this because it's actually a very good graph and they don't show this kind of goodness.
That's exactly right. So the figure for February 2020, for example, mm-hmm. that's a representation of the number of deaths registered in Victoria from March the 1st, 2019 to February the 21st, presumably in 2020.
Okay.
29th, I should say. Mm-hmm. So you can see that, and that number there is just under 40,000 people
mm-hmm.
had passed away in that 12 months. Now, in February and March and April, the number of deaths started to climb.
Right. And they're going to say that's COVID.
they could say, that. But it's, again, if you have a look at the trend, it was in line, very much in line with the trend that had been taking place up until that point.
Is that a seasonal thing?
Yeah. Well, no, again, but the seasonality is taken out because of the use of the 12-month rolling average.
Okay.
So there's no seasonality here. It's removed by the 12-month rolling average. So then what we see happening from April 2020 is that the rate of death in general declined to April 2021. So what, essentially from the time that they declared the pandemic and shut down the hospital system, et cetera, this incredible pandemic, virulent disease, resulted in a reduction.
Mm-hmm. With a little bit of a pop in September.
A little bit of a pop, yep. But essentially the trend is downward.
Okay.
And what I'm suggesting here is that that is the iatrogenic effect, and in particular, the decision to, with the hospitals being closed, there were no flu jabs being given out that year.
Now, the flu shot vaccine, that didn't start worldwide until, was it the end of 2020?
Well, there were no flu shots, so I'm not talking about COVID now.
Okay, we're talking about, when do you guys get your flu shot, though? Because our start in September.
Our starts in 6 months earlier because we are on the other season. It starts in in March and April. You start getting your flu shot.
But you did not get any flu shots in March 2020 because the hospitals clinics were closed. Got it.
So this comes from... This is directly from the Australian Bureau of Statistics. So what I've done is I've taken all the reports back from 2020 and plotted the actual number of deaths from the year 2000 until 2022.
And you'll observe, or all of Australia?
This is all of Australia, deaths in Australia, registered deaths.
Okay.
You'll see that they're increasing steadily up until 2019. And then in 2020, the number of deaths fell from 169,000 to 160,000. A very large drop. And 2021, they returned to a bit more than the number of deaths in 2019.
Yeah.
And then in 2022, they rose to over 190,000. So a significant jump. But, you know, if you looked at that graph in total, you wouldn't say that that was particularly amazing, although, you know, it's strange that there was a sudden jump. But, you know, I think in some respects you could say, oh, you know, okay. It's not impossible.
Okay. These are your graphs. You created.
These are my graphs, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, I need to go forward. Right. I've somehow managed to get out of...
You're out of sync. That's all right. Let me look at the comments. Take it easy.
Yeah.
Not Shock says FACO2 was working tonight. Thank you very much. I see Daniel is in our on FACO2, who created FACO2. Thank you, Daniel. And hopefully it's working well for you. And he says it's very fluid in the email. Okay. Whenever the doctor shows up, there are no symptoms.
Okay, so now we've talked about the number of deaths. Now, what's interesting is that the ABS in the 2022 report changed.
My screen is black, by the way. You got anything better?
Oh, I need to share it. Sorry, I must have done something wrong.
You've done something. We're sharing it, but we have a black screen.
Oh, do you? Well, maybe. It just needs to, I need to share it again. So let me.
You can unshare it and reshare it if you'd like.
Yes, maybe. I think that's the plan, isn't it?
There, I have SETIQ on there. SETIQ is my site. So FACOTube, I'll share the FACOTube chat. Not Shock says, lies, damn lies, and statistics. And let me put the chat. And we have Tominoid in there was saying, what about complete absence of influenza deaths and pneumonias down 25% or whatever it was?
Well, I do talk about that.
Okay. But we, I think we all know on our channel that they just, those are symptoms. Pneumonia and influenza are symptoms that were put into the COVID symptom pile.
Yeah.
Pretty simple.
Okay. So have you got, are you back on the screen yet?
Yeah, we're back.
Okay, so you'll notice here that this graphic is from the 2020 report. The previous one on standardized death rate was from the 20 report. Now, what they've done here is they've gone all the way back to 1973 to talk about the standardized death rate. And so you see it fall in so the actual number is a black line down here. And then you see it just rising very marginally as far as the ABS is concerned. So, you know, nothing to see here, nothing to be alarmed about. But it doesn't separate men and women out, and it has it's a different representation of the data, which is interesting.
Okay. What's the purple line, Tasmania?
The purple line is Northern Territory.
It's a very dangerous place.
So the standardized death rate, whatever that means, has been falling, you know, essentially falling from 2000 down to 2020 when it was at its lowest, and then it's jumped up in 2021, but not in any alarming way.
Super gradual.
From this graph. 2022, it's jumped up, and this is where they say it's now at its highest rate since 2015. Okay, now, here's an interesting thing. If I now take the number of deaths and divide it by the population, this population number comes from Statista. I get this number, the actual deaths per 100,000.
Do you have a new screen?
Can you see it?
Well, the screen hasn't changed. We're still on the ABS changes tack.
Okay. Hopefully you've got a new... Have you got a new screen now?
No.
Will it change? I will.
Is it changed on your end?
It hasn't changed on my end, but what I'll do is I'll stop sharing and start sharing again. So this is very interesting. Did you see the previous slide?
Well, the ABC changes tack, I saw.
What we need to go is...
Yeah, Alpha BMW. FACOTUBE chat is independent of the standard YouTube, Twitter, the live chats. It's not integrated. FACOTUBE is a proprietary platform. So, unfortunately, you will not see those chats unless you literally go to FACOTUBE and check the chat over there. No way to integrate it at this time, but... if we ever need to only use our own platform, at least it'll be there. So I have many chats, and Odyssey chat is not integrated either. So we're not perfect here. So Frank, you just unshared your screen.
Yes, I'm just, bear with me.
And by the way, Sunday, Gemma O'Doherty will be on the Fakeologist live stream. If you go to fakeologist.com/live, you'll see our calendar here, and Gemma is scheduled for February 4th, 2 p.m., because she's over there in Dublin. So you can see this is our calendar. You can take this calendar and put it in with your calendar on your favorite smartphone and never miss a show. But you can see that the middle part of the week are always the same. Okay, standardized death rate.
Okay, so this is the standardized death rate, which it takes into account that if they like the demographics. And what they're saying here is that the standardized death rate has been steadily falling over the past 20 years. It got to its lowest point in 2020, you know, during the horrific pandemic, absolutely deadly pandemic that was taking place, and then rose up a little bit in 2021. And, you know, you'd look at that graph and say, yeah, there's nothing big there. A bigger jump in 2022, which is significant enough for the ABS to say, look, it's gone right back to where it was in 2015.
Yeah.
But now the next thing I did was take the population of Australia. These numbers are from Statista. Can you see that on the screen? You can,
yeah. Yeah, that's looking good.
See the numbers on Statista, and so they should be reasonable. And enough for what we're trying to do. So they're saying that the population at the end of 22 was popped over 26 million. And it was about 19 million in the year 2000. So what I've done then is just because they don't show the actual death rates in the ABS stats, what I've done is just taken the actual deaths and divided it by the population to get this figure, the actual deaths per 100,000.
Okay.
And what that shows is that the actual deaths per 100,000 were on a you know, essentially a decline.
And they went shooting up in vaccine season.
And next thing you know, in 2022, they are way higher than anything in the past 20 years. They are going back. I haven't
done bananas.
I haven't done anything for, but I reckon it must be 50 years. Like something serious has happened. And what occurs to me is what's going on between this SDR and the actual, or some people call this the crude rate.
But so that some, is there's some whacking of numbers.
That is a whacking big change in 2022.
And we know what it was. It's the vaccine. Let's just say it, because allshotsclot.com.
Now, one of the other things that came out, I think, of your talk with Phil was that, you know, what's the elephant in the room?
Mm-hmm.
The ABS is not discussing the effect of, you know, the jabs as a potential cause at all. If you read their 2022.
It's unknown report, causes everywhere around the world, is it not?
Well, they just don't discuss. There is no mention at all that there's been a step change, a massive experiment has taken place, and that as a potential cause is not discussed at all.
Right.
Now, as I said, the actual deaths per 100,000 are really, really interesting. I mean, as I said, there is a steady decline for 20 years.
Mm-hmm. What do you attribute that to, I wonder?
Well, so what I'm suggesting is, at the very least, this, as I see, given that the jabbing started effectively here in 2021,
mm-hmm.
What's going on?
Okay. My view is that
this evidence points clearly that the jabs are harmful. Now, whether it's because of the psychological effect, or is it the nocebo effect, who knows? But one thing that does become clear in the next slide is that it is affecting the elderly, and here is how we can establish that. When we compare the standardized versus the actual rate, mm-hmm. The blue graph down the bottom is the standardized rate. The orange line is the actual, and you'll notice that over the 20 years since we started this, the two measures started quite close together, and over time they have increased in separation.
So what does standardized mean again?
It takes into account the number of life years lost. You know, if you die and you're 89, you don't contribute much to the death rate. If you're 10 years old, you contribute more.
Why is that? So if you're 89,
I don't know.
If you're 89, you're past the average death age of you're past the average age of death, which is probably 79 or 80. So if you're 89, you probably give 9 years back to the statistical pile. But if you're 10, you probably contribute 70 years to the statistical pile.
But what I'm, what this graph indicates is, given that it favors, you know, if you like, discounts the death of this, this large margin now indicates that the elderly, the plus 65 people, have been disproportionately affected by this jab.
Yeah. And why do we speculate on that?
Because this, because this difference in the stamp, the difference between the actual
versus, but why do you think older people die more often at a higher rate
from the jab?
Yes.
They probably get more of them, and they're not as mobile, and so the effects of the, I mean, I'm speculating, but since you've asked me, I'll speculate.
Oh, this, we can given, speculate. We're both intelligent.
Given that the, given that the thing appears to affect the circulation, the heart, and so on.
Yeah.
More sedentary the population, the less active they are, and the less ability they have to shake off the effects of the
metabolize
the coagulant.
Yeah.
And to metabolize it. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. There's so many reasons. A lot of them are confined. A lot of them are more brainwashed. They've had 80 years of the television and radio propaganda in their lives, so they're more likely to believe authorities. This is, and of course, they're more likely not to miss even one of the prescribed injections.
Whereas, and the other reason, the other, you know, if we accept the nocebo effect, they just could be just more fearful.
Right. Well, they're closer to death anyway, so they're more likely to accept anything that can prolong death, which of course is the opposite of what these things are. And don't forget my other show, allshotsclot.com, allshotsclot.com. That's Mondays, where you can just call in and tell us your death and vaccine destruction story. And don't forget to call in this Monday. Otherwise, I'll just play videos of other people talking about the vaccine.
Yeah. So let's go on to the...
And by the way, that's its own website, allshotsclot.com. And if you want to register for that website, unfortunately, it's separate from the Fakeologist Network. So just send me an email, anything at allshotsclot.com, and I'll add you. It just makes commenting easier. So don't forget. Okay, Frank, back to your statistics.
So this latest graph is hot off the press. So the registered death numbers for Victoria came out yesterday. So they were very quick, very prompt.
You guys have the best statistics.
So this is the, so what you can see has happened is that from, I'll use my control key again to try and.
Yeah, the control key usually draws a big circle.
Oh, there you go. Can you see a red dot? You can.
Yeah, I can see the red
dot. Lovely. Okay, so in March 2021, which is effectively when they started jabbing, the 12-month death rate had fallen to its lowest level for more than a year. And then it began to rise fairly alarmingly. So that in January 23, over 48,000 people had died in the 12 months prior to that. That's an 8,000 increase over what should have occurred in
20%.
20%.
Yeah.
Huge.
My quick math, yeah. And
now that's when the jabbing stopped.
Yeah.
And it started to fall down, down, down. And then it was continuing on its downward trend until January 24. January of 24 has the highest January registered deaths of any of the figures I've got for January.
Even so higher than January 23?
Yeah.
But because we're, it's not as, because it's taking into account the previous 12 months, it's still low. It doesn't pop up because it's a rolling.
But you'll see that that's leveled off. So January 24 is higher than January 23 in registered deaths in Victoria.
Right.
Now, and remember, Victoria there's been an increase in population in that time as well.
Okay. And Victoria is probably one of the most compliant states in Australia.
These are the guys that produced all these incredible laws that didn't affect judges, but everyone else who was working was mandated to get a jab. And because people are unaware that mandate still means voluntary, they fell for it.
And this is more so than other places in Australia, other states?
More so.
Okay.
And very interesting, while we've been talking about this, I think in on the mandate, I said in some previous discussion that I thought any problems to be borne for injured employees were going to be borne by the employers, not by the state. This would fall back on them. The first case of that type has just taken place in South Australia, where a healthcare worker claimed against his employer for the vaccine injury, acknowledged vaccine injury, and the employer said, no, it's not our problem. But he's just won a court case. The employer now has to pay all that guy's medical expenses and keep him to the style to which he's going to become accustomed.
Oh, wow.
So
who was the employer?
It was a private company that runs, old care homes, old age homes.
Oh, okay.
So that came through just in the last week. So that's really, I think, going to be the start of employers.
Well, that's a precedent in the court, so we know what precedents are all about.
Yeah.
Good luck for all you. Yeah, that's crazy.
How are we going for time?
Oh, we're good. 41 minutes in. Not Shock says fear and stress affect health as well as jabs. Oh, for sure.
100% fear.
That's nocebo.
Yeah, the nocebo. As I said, I'm not attributing. We don't know. We simply don't know. I'm just pointing out what the figures say, that one way or another, either through actual damage or through fear, the actual death rate has skyrocketed. Now, it's not explained by the reduced road toll, because at the 2020 reduction, I should say, is not explained by the reduced. There was not much change in 2020 when things were shut down. The number of people killed on the roads, this is from Statista, didn't change that much. So why was 2020 so low? Was it the flu jabs is what I'm pointing out. In 2019, 1,080 deaths were attributed to influenza. In 2020, there were 55 deaths attributed to influenza. What took out influenza worldwide? My speculation is that no one was getting the flu jab in 2020.
Okay. But we could also say they were recategorizing symptoms of influenza as COVID.
Yeah, maybe. But in reality, in Australia, there were 889 deaths attributed to COVID in 2020, which is less than the amount normally going to influenza.
Okay.
And 800 of them were in Victoria, where the most egregious false attribution was going on. And the reason I say that's evidence of false attribution is simply because the rest of Australia, which was not locked down to the extent Victoria was, had 89 deaths. 89 deaths were attributed to COVID in Australia, outside of Victoria, in 2020. 89.
And 800 in Victoria.
And 800 of the 889 in Victoria. These numbers stink to high heaven, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Craziness. And that is the end of the presentation. If there are anyone wants to ring in and talk about
Very
it,
good.
Please.
What's your takeaway in general? Allshotsclot.com?
Well, look, I think, as I said, I think the number of deaths from influenza has gone to the thousands only since the flu jabs came in around about 2020. I think that these numbers, I think, are very clear. I don't think there's any mistaking a change in the actual death rate of such a magnitude as indicating that we should not have done that.
Well, we should not have done what they got along with what they planned for us, but they made it seem like or they did their best simulation to make it seem like you made your own decision. And they will continue to say that you are responsible for your action. Just because we coerced, bribed, and almost beat you into it doesn't make it our fault.
Well, it's interesting that the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, and I think Phil was attacking the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation vehemently in your last chat with him. The Australian Broadcasting Corporation had this guy that would wring his hands in front of him and look down at his shoes and talk about how terrible this was. We're talking about 2020. And 2020, as I said, was by far the healthiest year Australia's experienced.
Yeah, I'm sure Canada as well. I don't think we have a statistical. We don't have the statistics as good as at least.
Well, I just think it's, obviously delighted that we were able to get this level of statistical information. It's, I'm glad that I kept track of it right from the start. It's been useful in vindicating my thinking on it. And, if I ever waver, I just review what's gone on there. But as I said, I think the change in the actual death rate is crazy. And, in my opinion, it's being obscured by this standardized death rate nonsense.
Now, if you want to call in, I'm going to make this a tab, I think. Where is the tab here? Okay. You want to call in 810-666-1984, 902-400-1984. There you go. So please call in if you'd like.
And just while we're waiting for a call, mm-hmm. One of the things that I picked up in the last couple of weeks was pointed out by those guys at Revelation Radio.
Okay.
Where they were talking about the clear, what they consider to be very clear evidence that the influenzas and various other illnesses, cancers in particular, are parasitic in nature. I talked about this on one of the evening and weekend shows. And they are talking about the use of fenbendazole to get rid of parasites. Okay. And how the flu is a symptom of, when you knock off one parasite, its eggs will suddenly rehatch. And that causes a this flu-like reaction.
Uh-huh.
And I've to do more work in, but I'd be interested in other people's comments on the parasite connection with illness. And the reason I'm particularly interested in it is because I think I talk a lot about salt, as people know, an ounce of salt per day. What happens when you have plenty of salt is that you're able to more easily maintain the alkaline state of your body at around about 7.4 to 7.45. Now, that is the pH at which algae and parasites can't survive in a swimming pool.
And right, it's the algae. Same in the body. Yeah.
So the chemistry is the same. What's going on in your body is if you maintain your pH at 7.4 and a bit stronger, 7.45, you will not be subject to parasitical attacks. Remember that I'm not a doctor and this is not medical advice.
No. So salt your food, especially if it doesn't taste that great.
Especially then. Yeah. But the latest Revelation Radio talk was great. We have a caller in her.
We have a caller in her. Caller in her, welcome to the show. State your name and your location, please.
This is John the Beggar. From the south shore of the St. Lawrence Seaway.
Hi, John.
John, lean into your mic for us.
Let me pick up the handset.
Always better when you pick up the handset. John the Beggar.
Okay, John the Beggar believes in parasites and that they're real and they're a problem. I think colds, flus, whatever, are fungi, molds, mildews, parasites. That's what I think they really are.
Yeah.
All right.
Have you done much work on it, John? Have you done much research?
I've seen a lot of things about it, And I know when I was a younger man, I could sometimes sense in the air that I was going to get sick. And I'm wondering if that was my body feeling these things or smelling them.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the kind of view that Rick, the conspiracy theorist, has as well, of course.
Because I know there were just times, and a lot of it took place when dusk started to settle in and it was damp and cold. And I think these things become alive in these things, and you get poisoned by them.
Yeah. And I was talking with Ab, I think, at some point where we mentioned the connection with the turpentine theory as well. You know, the woman that is recommending that you have a spoonful of turpentine regularly.
Well, I take wormwood, black walnut shells, and cloves in a combination. You could buy it online. Wormwood is a Chinese anti-blood parasite for malaria. Cloves will kill pinworms and other things. And black walnut shells were used by the Native Americans to get rid of parasites. And I've known farmers who had black walnut trees, and wild animals would come and eat when they fell. Even livestock, horses and stuff, would try to get out of their pens and corrals, kick holes in, and get to those walnut shells. And
wow.
Even his house cat and his dog would sneak out and eat those things. They would eat them and eat them, and he said they would poop out the most disgusting looking poop, and oftentimes they would vomit, and then they would run right back and eat more of these black walnut shells.
Are you're talking about dogs?
Yeah, dogs, cats for domestic animals, but
yeah.
Horses would kick down their corral to get out and to get at those things.
Yeah.
Pigs would get loose from a farmer's, or sheep from another field, and they would head over to his black walnut trees.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Kate Emma, though. I don't really agree with you guys. Kate Emma says, think ill health due to a number of factors, stress, mindset, mold, lack of sunshine and grounding, lack of suitable nutrients, vitamins, etc. Don't think it's parasite, though, unless in dirty water areas. So,
while I agree with but you about the minerals and so on, what I'm going to suggest to you is without the right nutrients, without sunshine, salt and all the other things that you need, you become vulnerable to parasitic infection.
Definitely.
Yeah, but you got to pick up the parasite from somewhere. Where you go? I don't eat the poo off the ground like the dog does.
No, but you smell the poo, and when you smell poo, you're inhaling molecules of it, and the parasites could be in that molecules or in dust.
A parasite's egg is got to be bigger than a molecule, so I'm going to disagree there.
Well, it could be molds, mildews, and fungi too.
Okay, I'll buy that, but I'm not going to buy. I'm not going to breathe in an egg floating in the air. I don't think even a parasite's egg is floating in the air. I think if I eat uncooked meat, there's a possibility there could be eggs in that, and that would come into my digestive system, and I'm hoping that the stomach acid would destroy it with enough salt.
It might and it might not.
If you, as I've said before, Ab, if you have sufficiently nourished, your body's very tough, no question.
Yeah,
but I think there are a lot of malnourished people.
But I think dogs eat a lot of garbage off the ground, including their own crap, so they would just recycle the eggs if they were. So I don't eat my own crap. I'm above that, and I don't think most humans do either. So what else you got there, John the Beggar, down on the south shore of the St. Lawrence Seaway?
Well, I haven't seen any illegals trying to swim over lately. Once again, I think it's still too cold, even though it's a warmer day.
Well, the illegals would be coming from Canada. Are people trying to break into the U.S. from Canada?
I don't think so. I haven't seen any swim across lately.
No. If anything, you're going to be swimming across when they reelect or reselect Donald Trump. All those celebrities, I'm expecting to pick them up in the St. Lawrence Seaway.
They might try, that's for sure.
Mm.
But taking care of good health always puts you in a better position. But I knew a chiropractor, and he claimed that all cancers were nothing but balls of worms inside of you. He had a friend come to his office and say he had 6 months to live. A doctor took an x-ray and said he had parasites. And he said, let me take an x-ray. And his friend said, well, my insurance won't cover it. And he said, it's on the house. He looked at it, and what he saw was a ball of worms in his brain. So he told him to go over to Canada. And that time you could buy over-the-counter drugs like Combatrin, and had him go over
Combatrin,
every day.
That's a great name.
And Combatrin. Every day, and yeah, you can get it now in CVS in America. But he had him go over the border and do that and keep taking that stuff, buying a bottle, drinking it every day, going over. And finally, he said 6 months later, he went back to that doctor, the cancer doctor, and the doctor said, your cancer's gone.
Yeah.
Great story.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. All right, John. Well, good call. I appreciate it. I'm not a big parasite guy. I know that Dr. Jennifer Daniels and her turpentine on a sugar cube cure. But she thinks you should poop 10 times a day as well. So I don't know. It sounds a little quacky to me.
Did you have any questions on my presentation, John?
Your presentation, I was in the bathroom for part of it. I'm sorry to say I was in the shower.
Oh, okay. Well, at least you weren't on the John getting rid of the parasites.
No, I'd done that earlier in the day.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in, John.
We love our callers to be clean before they call in, so thank you for showering.
Yes. Okay. Thanks for having me on.
Take care, John. You're the best. Take care. Bye-bye. There goes John the beggar. Phone lines are open, 810-666-1984. You can join the studio at fake11.com/restream. We can probably take a call in the next 5 to 10 minutes. Otherwise, we'll shut her down because we do like to keep it to about an hour.
Yeah.
And don't forget, if you want to comment on Fakeologist, you need to be registered. Send me an email at ima@fakeologist.com, and I'll be sure to sign you up. And
if anybody wants a copy of the presentation or graphs or
oh, yeah, you should put it on the Fakeologist forums.
I'd love to do that, you know.
Can you do that?
No.
Hey, Fakeologist, who's calling? Where are you calling from?
Willard from Florida.
Willard from Florida. How are you, Willard? Thanks for calling.
Good. Frank, can you take a question off, kind of off topic?
Yeah, go for it.
Sure.
All right.
You want to talk about the Beatles?
No, this is really good. I've always, next time I call, I want to, tell Frank how much I enjoyed chatting with him back then. You too, back with Chris Kendall, the Hoax Busters.
Well, thank
and
you.
There was a question I'd always wanted to ask him and never got to it, to hear his response. So you ready for it, Frank?
I'm ready, I think.
All right. Suppose I'm standing at the equator, and you know how the Earth rotates 1,000 miles per hour west to east?
That's the official story.
Sorry, I'm not I think I've said straight out that I'm not a believer of that view, but okay.
Okay, well, good. Okay, all right. Well, I'm getting the nail on the head then, because I've asked airline pilots and flight instructors this question. I said, okay, if I'm standing at the equator and it's going 1,000 miles west to east, 16 miles a minute, 1 mile every 3 seconds, if a plane's coming from the south to land on a runway facing north, north to south orientation, so
yeah.
Frank, you're going to land your plane on the runway. As you slow the plane down to final approach to land on the runway, do you have to lead the runway to hit it? What would you say?
So what I'm going to say to you is that the design and operation of aircraft is based on the assumption that the Earth is not moving and that all points of equal height above sea level lie on a flat horizontal plane.
Exactly. Thank you. Because I had a 747 pilot tell me, when they navigate the waypoints, they don't take the rotation of Earth into effect. And go ahead.
No, it's just, like if you think about if you're flying Well, by the way, I'm going to say something I've said 100 times here, but I'll say it again for the sake of completeness. Nobody, not one person, not one living man or woman, ever makes use of the spinning ball theory at all. Because when you fly from New York to Los Angeles, the plane, you work out the wind speed, the plane flies at a certain speed, and you can work out how long it's going to take you to get there. You don't say, oh, while I'm up in the air, the earth is spinning twice as fast as the plane is moving. Right. I have to take that into account. No one ever does that. Right? No one says, oh, I've just got to take into account that rotation. And it's even worse, of course, if you're flying from, from Miami to Florida, because in that time you head off in the direction of Florida, and Florida's moved over to where London used to be.
Yeah, exactly. This pilot, he would fly from Chicago, Illinois to Paris and Israel, Tel Aviv. And there's a YouTuber named Blanco Lirio, who's a pilot, and I asked him. And he said, no, the forces, you wouldn't leave the runway. The forces spinning the earth work on the plane at the same time. You know, something ridiculous like that.
Well, and by the way, you and I don't know that that's not true. But the point remains that pilot who says that is essentially saying to you, for practical purposes, I assume that it doesn't matter. In other words, I'm assuming it still. He's telling you that. It's just telling you a different way. He's saying, oh, no, I don't have to worry about that because it's all balanced by the balancer.
Whatever. Yeah, it just reminds me of how you said as an engineer, you know, everybody treats Earth as if it was a flat plane, you know, when they do 100%. The figuring.
Yeah. I have worked on some very, very large mines and never, ever, ever, ever have I taken into account any curvature. Never have I allowed for it.
Yeah,
and by the way, no one's flying over the South Pole.
Well, that's another kettle of fish that's real interesting. Ed, did you ever with your Nikon camera, you know, look across water and see objects on the other side or a ship disappearing that was supposed to have gone over to the horizon?
I just took a picture of Toronto from across the lake.
Okay, I remember that. Yeah, you posted that. Okay.
The best time for me is at my local beach is when the sun is setting and you see all the shipping channel markers all light up, and you can see for 20 or 30 Ks from you know, just a few inches above sea level.
Yeah.
There's no way to discern any curve.
Yeah.
As I said, here is a challenge to anybody listening. Write in and tell me a practical occasion when you used spinning ball theory for anything. A practical reason.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's satisfied my curiosity, and I guess I have to call in some like the all shots clock, yeah, because I spoke to three separate people. I asked them if they knew anyone damaged by vaccines, and they all did. I was 3 out of 3.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
One person had, someone had 2 people with myocarditis, 2 with rare cancers, and one, the same person had a uncle who went to a cardiologist. Everything was fine. And then 2 weeks later, took a shot and then died of a heart attack. Mm. And so that's, it's terrible. Kind of like what Phil said. Yeah, it is. Yeah, what Phil said about if you know you're knowing somebody. Well, with the vaccine, you can ask, and I'm sure you'll get your verification. So, all right. Well, that was all I had.
Yeah, call in next Monday. We'll take your call.
Okay. Thanks a lot, fellas. Enjoy listening to the show.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling in. I really appreciate it.
We appreciate it.
I've got a friend that took all the jabs. You know, she must be up to number 6. She's constantly complaining that she's got COVID. Every time someone asks her to go somewhere, oh, I've just got COVID again. Oh, would you believe it? I've got COVID again.
That's not your wife, is it?
No.
Okay. Guess she's
just
all right.
Just
all right.
Good night, fellas.
Thank you, Willard. Take care. Good night. That's Willard from Florida. Oh, I had Dave J in the restream. I was going to put him on, but he just disappeared.
Okay.
All right. Well, that was an interesting presentation. Very much appreciated. Statistics are something else when you're trying to figure it out, that's for sure. And we know that they lie with statistics, but you are doing your best to present the data in a way that makes sense. I appreciate that. I appreciate the effort you put in. I hope the people of Victoria appreciate the effort you've put in. What? Let me get your feedback on the shows that you were you had to sit back for, the Germans, the whole Zundel.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I guess as I said to you, it's interesting to me that you've been taking an interest in that topic.
You followed my work for a long time, so.
Yeah, and you were largely a guy that just don't go there, don't go there, don't touch me there, I think would be the equivalent.
Well, I had no interest there because it seemed like the place that everyone was trolling from, and still does, by the way. Yeah. I'm still not convinced of any particular position, but my biggest concern is this Zundel guy.
Well, you know, remember I've been very straightforward in this site that I think Walt Disney played the role of Adolf.
I know, but that doesn't have anything to do really with what I'm talking about with Zundel and Camp.
Well,
no,
but what I do, and I have also said several times that I think this is a war on Protestants and Lutherans in particular because of the Reformation.
Right, yeah. Okay,
And I haven't held back, and I heard, and I noticed that you were saying more or less the same thing to Phil.
Yes, I think so, and I think the American Civil War follows along that path a little bit as well.
Yeah, and that idea that you put up that the German mercenaries were brought across to be
the Bolsheviks, yeah,
were brought across to be the armed forces of
the North, Lincoln's the North army.
It's very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lynn Ertel touched on very clearly on the idea that are we in a world that's already controlled, or is there multiple things? My view is very clearly we have a single government, and it does all these things basically to continue to bamboozle people.
Yeah, we've always had a world government. We just are going to have more of a world government. In other words, it'll be more intense, it'll be more wide-reaching, they'll be controlling more aspects of our lives. And I think even Zundel, he realized this in 1969, and his publicity stunt to run for the leadership of the Liberal Party of Canada was just to get publicity. He didn't think there's any chance he could really win. He just wanted to speak in front of as many people as possible. So you talk about speaking to power, you go to the belly of the beast and get in one of their conventions. I thought that was pretty... He was good at getting his message across. That's really all he wanted to do. But...
Well, just in terms of, you know, economic theory and so on, in my opinion, it's very straightforward that you would want to have the if there was a properly run government of the people, it would have its own ability to generate services, and it would encourage the private sector to compete with government services, and that way the two views would keep each other honest. That to me is as obvious as the plain as the nose on my face. The fact that that never happens, that there are monopolies created, tells you that we are not living in a sensible world. And the idea, I think, as again Phil pointed out, that governments are here to help you, is childish. And it is the elephant in the room that people don't want to face.
Now, since Dave J was just in the room, I'll play Zundel on the legalization of pot. Somebody called him up in 1969 and asked his stance, as if he became Crime Minister of Canada, what he would do with legalization of pot. Now, we know it was legalized in Canada a few years ago. So let me play this real quick. And here is sort of the, here is his stance based on his upbringing. So let's play Ernst Zundel, if we can, on pot, and let's hope it actually works. And it's not working. So let me refresh the page and see if it works now.
Speaking. Mr. Zundel, my name is John Sanders. I'm a student at Ryerson Collegiate. I'm taking social sciences, and actually at this time in my course, I'm required to do a thesis on the political leadership race. I noticed that you're quite public these days on this different matters, and I heard you make a, what I consider must be, very frankly, a really stupid, outrageous statement that you feel the users of marijuana and other narcotics should be punished more severely.
Oh, come on. This is pissing me off. Hold on a sec. Yeah, I'm also playing it a little fast.
Speaking, Mr. Zundel, my name is John Sanders.
Come on, hold on.
First of all, as to your using it or me never have used it, you're absolutely right. I wouldn't go near that stuff with a 10-foot pole.
Then how can you make a statement about it not, people should be punished more severely? If you haven't tried it, how can you call it?
I can daily see the results. And sometimes when I look at our governments in the Western world, I wonder if I cannot see the results even on the highest government levels. We seem to be run by a bunch of potheads. No, but to answer your question quite seriously, no judge, no jury in a courtroom, in a court of law, all over the world is required to turn themselves into murderers, prostitutes, pimps, arsonists, or any other assorted crooks before they can pass judgment on somebody that is a crook. So that's so far for your me never having tried it.
Okay, that was a good point. Of course, it's buffering again. Sorry about this, guys. My own website buffering. I think there's something wrong with my browser, so that's why it stopped. I did not stop that on purpose. Let me just put it in this other browser here.
Secondly,
here we go.
They are actually being lulled into this dream world where they feel good and feel wonderful, and ultimately it affects their memory, and there's nothing that politicians would like more than a bunch of dreamy-eyed, forgetful voters, because then they could be even more outrageous in dipping their hands in the public till.
All right. Well, I'm sorry about this buffering thing. I just, basically he was saying that.
And by almost literally getting away with murder. So I know that for a person that likes to indulge once in a while with their girlfriends in a stick of grass or something like that, that this sounds like heresy. And possibly was I 10 years younger.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. There's Ernst Zundel on pot. And yeah. More compliant, more docile, more almost stupid voters. So there you go. All right, man. Well, thank you, Frank. I appreciate you calling in tonight.
No, I obviously appreciate the opportunity to vent.
All right. Very good presentation. I really appreciate that. It was well done, well played. And thanks for your continued work. And that's why I do my show All Shots Clawed as well. I think something real is happening, and it's not good. But on the other hand, it is an intelligence test, and they are getting rid of a large portion of the not so bright, the not so well researched. So I hope we all agree on that. So thank you very much, and we'll see you on the audio chats.
Terrific. Take care.
Bye. Take care, and thank you, Frank, and we'll see all you guys on the audio chats on the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. We usually do audio chats at fake11.com/discord. Make sure to join in, and value for value. If you like this show, send me an email, send me a small donation, and help get FakeoTube running even more smoothly. All right. All the best, and thanks to those past and present and recurring donors. Really appreciate it. And we'll see you later. Another big week. See you Sunday, 2 p.m. Gemma O'Doherty. Bye now.